Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm J. Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm, Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we'll talk about all topics, estate planning, you know, wills, healthcare proxies, powers of attorney. We'll talk about elder care. We're lucky to have Kim on with us today. We can talk about some care management issues. And it's also a call-in show. So we're happy to take your call. It's 518-476-5900. And wow, I have different charm. But unfortunately, my husband got COVID, and I'm calling in just to keep everyone safe. And yes, you still can get COVID. You know, I thought we were past it, but we're not. So everyone just be safe out there.
I know. We kind of let our guard down sometimes, right? Don't really anticipate,
yeah.
Oh, it's just cold. And well, and now especially because the trees are coming out, so you just think, ah, I have allergies. My allergies are acting up, so.
That's the first thing I said. Yeah, I said it's an allergy. Are you sure? You know? And he's like, no, I'm sicker than an allergy.
So, and we were just laughing because, you know, when men get sick, it's just, it's a little more dramatic.
I know, we're terrible. We are.
I am sorry to all the men, but most of you are big babies when you're sick, you know?
Right.
I know.
Happy Earth Day to you guys. It is Earth Day today.
It is, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I didn't realize that. That is true. Happy Earth Day. It's going to be beautiful out. Good day to get outside, do walk in nature, or do some spring planting, right?
Yeah, I keep thinking we can do some planting, but it's still April and you know, in the Northeast. I think we still have to wait a little bit.
That's true. It could still snow. Not that we want that to happen, but
we often say that my husband's like, we cannot do anything until Memorial Day weekend. That's when we're assured that it won't snow anymore.
I think he's right. I think that's true.
So how was your weekend?
Well, good. I was just going to talk. I'm sure most people know you, Kim, but I was just going to talk a little bit about what you do for us. Kim is you're not a geriatric care manager. You're an aging life care manager. And Kim helps a lot of our clients. You know, first, Dave and I, we help them with make sure their legal paperwork is up to date and, you know, help them apply sometimes for Medicaid if they need it. But Kim does a lot of help with just managing care. And I know Kim and I have had a couple of intense cases we've worked on lately where it really, I think, shines on what you do to help families who are not local. I was thinking in particular of this case where this couple, well, there's so many, Kim, but I'm thinking of the one where you had to help with the long-term care insurance, which is something we don't even talk about that much. If you have long-term care insurance, the claims process can be very difficult to get that long-term care insurance started. And that's one thing that you can help clients with.
Right. And I mean, it's a big thing too, because lots of situations people think that, and in the case particularly that I was working with, you know, he thought once he moved his mother into an assisted living that it automatically qualified her for needing, you know, for meeting the criteria for the long-term care insurance policy. And really what qualifies somebody is needing the assistance that the policy states. And policies vary, but in general, you know, they say that you have hands-on assistance with two of your activities of daily living. And usually those are, you know, the first ones that folks need help with are bathing and dressing. Or that you have a severe cognitive impairment. And that language is really tricky, because what does a severe cognitive impairment actually mean? And, you know, so we really have to kind of if somebody's borderline, in particular, like the one woman we were working with, she really needed medication management. That was all, you know, physically she's good. She can get herself bathed and dressed and eat and, you know, going to the bathroom. The big thing that she couldn't manage were her medications. Now, when she was at home, she probably required more assistance, right? Because managing a house, remembering appointments, all of those kinds of things. But once she moved to the assisted living, she's actually quite independent now because they're providing that support. So it was one of those things that we have decided to wait a few months, and instead of filing an appeal, you know, we'll go back and do another assessment with her to see if there have been some changes from her cognitive status. Because as we know, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's is progressive. It usually, you know, you get worse, you don't get better. And she's 92, so the likelihood of her disease progression, you know, naturally happening is probably, you know, good. So we decided that we would go back and, but this time we're going to work with the assisted living to make sure that he just doesn't file and sort of the same thing happens all over again. You know, we're going to go in, read notes, kind of see the different things that they're doing, really talk to them about, you know, the different activities that they're assisting her with. And, you know, hopefully at that point we'll be able to get the long-term care policy. Because I think that's the frustrating thing for people is, you know, you pay for these policies for a really long time and then you hope at some point you're going to reap the benefit of it.
Right. If you have it and you're actually getting care, I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't be using it. I know that I've heard you talk before about some people who have it. They kind of want to save it, right, for when their care is worse. Or, you know, maybe they're in the assisted living now and they're saving it for when they go to a nursing home. But that doesn't really make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't make sense because in a lot of circumstances, particularly now with the different levels of care available in assisted living, you may never need a nursing home, you know. So you want to start using that policy as soon as you're able, you know, to utilize it. You know, another tricky one that I'm working with right now is we have a couple that, you know, she had been in placement, but, you know, the husband was taking care of everything. But because of their cognitive issues, the premium hadn't been paid, you know, so we're working to try. Right.
They got notices that it was canceled, right? And after, if you've had this policy for years and paid premiums for years and then suddenly it gets canceled because you forget a bill, that's pretty scary, right?
Right. So one of the things that we're trying to do is there's a provision in the policy that says, you know, if the policy lapses due to a cognitive issue, the policy can be reinstated back 9 months. And so what we're trying to do is you know, show through medical appointments and things like that, that they both had the diagnosis that shows that they had cognitive issues. But more importantly, particularly for the wife, because she was in placement as of May of last year. So if we can establish that she was qualified, her policy was in good standing in May, she would have gone on claim. And then once you're on claim, almost every policy has what's called a waiver of premium. So once you're on claim, you no longer have to pay the premium. So, you know, if we can backdate her policy back to May when she originally would have qualified, she wouldn't have been paying a premium anyway. So she would have been exempt from it being canceled or lapsed because they wouldn't have needed to be paying on hers. So there's different angles that we can take, and that's why I always say to folks, like, you know, particularly if you have a long-term care policy, you need to take it out, dust it off, read through it, and, you know, schedule an appointment to meet with us because a lot of times we can sort of explain what different things mean. We could talk about the elimination period. We can talk about what your plan is during the elimination period. Because, again, a lot of times people don't trigger the policy until they're in the thick of 24-hour care. And the last thing you want to do is have to private pay, you know, 24/7 for, you know, 100 days, your elimination period. So we you know, try to find things to do to help out in that circumstance.
Right. And you know, sometimes, you know, you can try and navigate this yourself. It's difficult. Or you can have someone like him do it for you. And I know in this particular case, Kim, you spent hours, I mean, literally hours on the phone with the long-term care company, right?
Uh-huh. Well, and I'm saying, like, I can't imagine a 95-year-old, because our client, that's how old he is. I can't imagine him trying to navigate this himself.
No. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine on the phone.
I was frustrated, wanted to pull my hair out, so I can't even imagine.
Right, it's coordinating them and then coordinating the doctor's office to get the right forms filled out, working with the assisted living facility or to get them to fill out forms. It's a lot of work. Yeah,
yeah, it is a lot of work. And then, you know, I also have a colleague who sells long-term care insurance. So it was bringing that person in and saying, oh, you know, because sometimes you need that extra, you know, expert opinion to kind of help you make the case and the documentation. And now a lot of long-term care insurances don't have their own staff. They have like a third party that sort of manages customer service. So you're not even actually talking to the insurance company, so it is a very frustrating process.
Right, right. And in fact, there's a lot of similarities to qualifying for Medicaid. I mean, it may or may not always be that difficult, but right, you have to prove that you're qualified to receive the care. So there's similar evaluations you have to go through.
Absolutely. You know, we say that doing the application, the financial piece is the easy part, you know, and then the more challenging road is after that. And it's hard because, you know, most families come to us when the need is, you know, almost crisis mode, right? And they can't wait 3, 4, or 5 months for services to begin. So we kind of, you know, really need to start crafting a plan well ahead of time. I love when people call, you know, because the other thing that we do is we'll sit down with families and we'll help them proactively plan. You know, let's talk about the different scenarios. Let's talk about what might be available to you before you need full care. And start, you know, just this week I did, you know, one of my favorite webinars is, excuse me, how not to pay for services. And that webinar really, truly focused on all of the other services that are out there to help support folks living at home. And it was interesting. One of the webinar attendees, her parents are in their 80s, and she's like, they don't need any care. She's like, but I need to find ways for them to become engaged. You know, she says a lot of their friends have passed away or they're sick. You know, so what was really wonderful is we were able to talk about all the opportunities that are available for seniors to remain engaged in their community, whether it's from a volunteer standpoint. You know, she was like, we tried the senior center, but that kind of wasn't their vibe. They live here in Saratoga, so, you know, we talked about the Academy for Lifelong Learning and their classes. We talked about the Adirondack Folk School that offers a lot of really interesting kinds of classes.
Okay, guys, don't mean to interrupt here. It is time for our first break. And Jane Marie, if you'd like to take us to that.
Sure. We'll be right back with the next, oh my gosh, I messed that up. I was going to say the next half hour. Anyway, we'll be right back with the Herzog Estate Planning Show.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Kim Hance.
And we are going to continue talking about all kinds of long-term care issues, you know, receiving care at home, community Medicaid. But if you have a question, it can be about this. It could be about your trust, your power of attorney. It could be about probate. We handle all of those things. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900. And so Kim has been talking about kind of how to help people get qualified for long-term care insurance or how to get qualified for community Medicaid, because that really is, you know, kind of a difficult process to go through, right? There's two pieces to it, the legal and financial part, which Dave and I do, which is sometimes easier in comparison to what Kim has to do. And, you know, that process, sometimes clients say to me, you know, why can't I do the community Medicaid application myself, right? I've even had people come in and say, okay, I found the forums, right? Can I do it myself? And what would be your kind of advice to them, Kim?
Well, in a lot of circumstances, again, when I say the application is the easy part, right? It's that one. But really applying for Medicaid is several pieces. Again, if somebody has, you know, we always love it when we hear somebody say, well, I make too much money for Medicaid, right? So we love to dispel that myth by explaining the pooled income trust and how we're able to take, you know, any amount of extra income each month and put it into that account and then use that for monthly bills and things like that. But that requires its own application, right? But it also requires that somebody be deemed disabled per the Social Security Administration disability requirements, right? So it's filling out a medical form, it's filling out a disability questionnaire, it's getting a year's worth of medicals from physicians, it's compiling all of that information, and then submitting it to the proper authority. So people who have done their own Medicaid applications or even work with organizations that offer that service at no charge. I mean, there are several nonprofits that will help you fill out a Medicaid application, and that's great. But then the bottleneck happens when they don't have a disability determination. So therefore, they can't use the pooled income trust, which then means the Medicaid isn't active, right? They're approved, but it's not active. So there are just so many layers that are involved. And then there's the whole care piece, right? It's getting qualified and then utilizing the most appropriate program, because there are several programs that you can choose from under Medicaid. So we want to make sure that we're utilizing the services to the best of what we can for what that individual needs, because not everybody needs managed care. Not everybody needs, you know, the nursing home transition diversion waiver. So we just, you know, we really come at it from a holistic standpoint and want to make sure that we can maximize absolutely every angle that's available to somebody.
Hey, you guys like to take a phone call? We have one from Bob in Schenectady, so put him right on. Here you go. Hi, Bob.
Good morning,
Hi,
folks.
Bob.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Recently came across a situation with a friend whose wife was in the hospital for an extended period of time, and they wanted to ship her to a nursing home. A discharger. And they wanted to put her in a nursing home that he couldn't get to. It was out of town in the suburbs in another county. What rights did the person have? Because right away the bed utilization people said, well, if you don't accept this offer, then you're going to be responsible for the bill, for the hospital bill. What rights does the person have when the spouse wants the right to be able to continue to follow the progress of his spouse?
Kim, I'll let you talk a little bit about the discharge, because that's such a common situation that we have, right?
Right. And it's a tough one, because you know, it's really insurance driven, unfortunately. It's really about the Medicare and the insurance plan. And what they look at is if a person no longer has a medical need to stay in the hospital, it's time for them to go. And in lots of cases, family members can no longer meet the needs, to them, what's the alternative? And again, it could be rehab. You know, it could be a short time for rehab to help build. And the way it works is you're supposed to be able to choose 8 facilities. And if those 8 facilities say no, then they can expand the horizon to any facility within 50 miles. And what I say to families, like, when you're in this circumstance, you really have to advocate for, you know, where you, and a lot of times that's picking up the phone and calling the facility yourself. I do a lot of that, like, you know, for families that have worked with us and they call us and say, my loved one is, this is where they're going. So we kind of immediately jump on the phone and try to start advocating to see if there's a way to get them a little closer. There is an option to do something that's called a lateral transfer to a closer facility. It's a hard thing to do, but it can be done. Is she there long-term or is she just there short-term?
It's going to be a long-term rehab. She had total atrophy. She'd been totally on life support for a while.
Oh, gosh.
And they were recommending rehab, but it would have to be intensive rehab. And, you know, the spouse does not drive, so therefore getting a way out to another county would be an extreme difficulty, if impossible.
Sure. And you know, one of the things that we might be able to help them do is access some, maybe some transportation modes to help them get out there. Because there are a lot of
options. That's a dream. That's a dream. You know, I'm talking to a county that's not supplied with CDCA services.
Right, but there are a lot of, it's kind of like a hidden secret. There actually are quite a few transportation options that are available. So one of the things that we might need to do is just kind of get together and kind of explore what opportunities there are for him, and then, you know, maybe help him set up a regular, whether it's through a volunteer program, whether it's through lots of home care agencies provide transportation. You know, we might be able to look at the Star bus. We might be able to look at, there's a great program through Uber called GoGo Grandparents. So there are lots of options. We just need to find the one that would be most appropriate and easiest for him to navigate.
Okay. Right.
And then,
evidently, this is a standard problem a lot of people have, evidently.
It is, unfortunately. Our, you know, getting stuck in the nursing home, too, is also another, you know, problem. A lot of times, people don't rehab as well as we thought they were going to, and then the facility says, well, you know, now they require 24/7, so they need to stay here. And there are lots of other options outside of that, too. So we always say that it's very worthwhile, you know, meeting with the facility, having care planning meetings on a regular basis so that you can sort of gauge the progress that's being made and ask questions and be a part of the care plan. If he has internet access or even phone, he can do those. He doesn't have to be at the facility to do those. But it's also helpful to have an advocate with you, someone like a care manager that can really help sort of navigate some of those pieces.
Evan, how long does a person have in the rehab center before the Medicare kicks out?
So generally speaking, I mean, Medicare will pay up to 20 days, 100%. And then days 21 through up to 100, there's an, you know, it's an 80-20 split, so 80% Medicare, 20% either private pay or supplement. And I think the co-pay right now is $200 a day. But it also depends on the progress she's making. As long as she continues to make measurable progress, you know, she can stay on the Medicare. But again, at day 21, it will go to that 80-20%, you know, 80-20
split. 80-20
split,
okay. And this is a rate set by the government, correct?
Correct. It, that is standard across the board.
Right. Okay. All right. I was afraid this might be not a unique problem, but one that comes up a lot. So thank you very much.
Yes. You're welcome. Welcome to call our office and, you know, set up a time to meet with me and talk about it further if he has more questions, and I'd be glad to help him.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye, guys.
Welcome.
We have Bob from Glenville on the line here now. Hey, Bob from Glenville. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Here's my question. My dad's 93. He's been in hospice for 2 months at his house, and we just moved it to my brother's house, and we're in the process of fixing up his house and selling it. Now, I'm the power of attorney. If we sell his house, the house is not listed in my name. Unfortunately, I didn't do that when I should have, but if we do sell the house, do I have to hold that in escrow in case he goes into a nursing home, or can I take some cash out of the sale, or how does that work?
And guys, by the way, we have less than 2 minutes now.
Okay. Yep. Well, I'll kind of give you a short question, Bob, and then you may want to, a short answer, you may want to call our office to get more info.
Okay.
So if the house is in his name, but you have power of attorney, you can sell the house, and when you sell the house, that goes into his bank account, and you can use some of that money for his care, right? But if you're looking at a situation where you think he may need Medicaid to help pay for his care, we may be able to do something if your power of attorney has gifting powers, where we could gift some of the money, and use part of the money for his care and part of the money as a gift. So I think there's options available. A couple things or circumstances are going to kick in, you know, and one is to look at that power of attorney and see what powers you have.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll contact your office and we can work out some details. I thank you for your help.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. Thanks. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, the show goes quickly, doesn't it? There's lots of good questions coming in, and, you know, I think a lot of people are realizing, Kim, what kind of knowledge and services you have, which is also great. And let's just give our office phone number. It's 518-465-7581. If you have any questions, you can set up an appointment with myself or with Kim. And Kim, just kind of in closing, what kind of services can you help people with when they call?
I think almost everything related to all things aging and...
10 seconds. Say goodbye.
You guys have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.